Welcome to the Fallen State. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. You can support the Fallen State by becoming a member right there on the YouTube channel and or locals.com. I do appreciate it. And don't forget to check out the merch. And especially, but not only, the Punchy's coffee. I have my own coffee and it is good. So go to jesseleepeterson.shop, jesseleepeterson.shop, and I do appreciate it. So I have with me the one, the only, Danny Polish Chuck.
Am I right?
Good.
It's pretty good. It's I say Polish Chuck.
Oh, yeah, Polish Chuck.
It's close enough. It's something I deal with for my whole life.
And how you get a name like that?
I give some grace for that. How do I get a name like that? My parents are from Russia, and apparently the etymology of it is like Polish swamp people.
What? That's amazing.
I'm a swamp man.
What a mess.
And I mean, I will say, I'm somewhat shocked. I've seen a million of your clips before. I don't think I've ever seen you laugh.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing. And Danny is an actor, stand-up comedian, and the host of the Boys Cast.
Co-host of the Boys Cast with Ryan Long every Friday. Co-host.
Right on.
Yeah. And I also host two call-in shows. One of them called Low Value Mail on Monday nights and The Bathhouse on Tuesday nights.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And we will discuss that before we leave today.
Sure.
What is, let me just ask, as you said, what is a low value mail?
It's a play on words because it's actually spelled M-A-I-L. Because it's like a call-in show, I guess. Maybe stupid branding in hindsight. I don't know. The reason it came about is because I made a joke on Twitter like maybe 4 years ago. And then I about Gabby Petito on Twitter. And then I wound up in this Reddit group called the Female Dating Strategy, which I don't know if you're familiar with.
No.
They're a bunch of femcels is what they consider themselves. They're like hardcore feminists, but not like the foo-foo, like liberal feminists. They're very against sex work. They think like, you know, guys should pay for everything. And anyways, they put me on blast. I was unfamiliar with these high value male, low value male, but they put me in there and they were like, this guy's a low value male. And I just thought it was one of the funniest things I'd ever heard to be called that.
Well,
they actually have a lower category below low value male. It's called a scrote, which is actually what they refer to me as.
Why do men, when I say allow, they tend to go along with what not just women think about them, but why do men even think about what others think about them? It's not a normal state of being. When I was growing up, no one I knew thought about what other people thought about them. And I found it kind of strange when I first moved here to LA and I noticed that people thought about what others think about them. Or thought about them.
Sure.
And they put on a front like a showcase personality to try to prove to these people that they're not that. I understand why women do it, but why do men even give one thought about what others think about them?
That's a good question. I think there's some like innate thing in people where they just, you know, you want to fit in. I mean, the moment you stop caring about that kind of thing, it is quite freeing, you know, where you start kind of living for yourself and not really caring what people think. But I don't know. I don't know why men do that. They definitely do. I mean, maybe it's just like a feminine trait, I guess, that men might have.
Well, it's definitely a feminine trait. And I'm wondering if they got that, did they get that from their mothers? Because you do become like what you hate. You become like your mothers, right? You think like her, you feel emotions like her, you think like a woman, you get angry like a woman does. Because men don't, it's not natural for men to get angry. So I believe it comes from the mother because it is a feminine trait. to even think about what others think about you.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit juvenile, maybe. You know, like, I think that's if you're in high school, people in high school are like, you know, more like, I care what people think about me. You're kind of forming your identity, I guess. But right. To be a grown man behaving that way, yeah, it's not ideal.
When I was in high school, I was born with a cleft lip, palate cleft lips. My lip was split. And that was because I have white blood in me. And the doctor literally told me when I was a kid, so I'm like, why do I have a cleft lip and split thing?
Yeah.
He said, that's because you have white blood in you. That's a white person thing. But the point
is, that true? Have you done a 23andMe? Can you confirm?
Yeah, it is true. It's more of a white thing than it is a black thing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You don't see it a lot in black people unless you go to Africa. But you don't see it a lot in black.
There's a lot of black people in Africa, Jesse.
Yeah, they have it too. I noticed that. But my point was, I grew up with that. And when the kids would tease me about it, it never stopped me from getting girlfriends, feeling like I wasn't going to be able to get one, or make me want to not just live my life. That didn't stop me at all. It never bothered me because I knew it was there, and there was nothing I could do about it. So it didn't stop me. And I used to, sometimes I would even test that. I would talk to girls to see if that made a difference, and it made no difference at all.
Really?
Because I never thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's you might have a strong mental fortitude. I don't know if that's the correct phrasing of it, but, you know, some people probably destroys them.
Yeah.
They have some sort of thing like that, and they just can't get out of their own way, and they, you know, they think it's kind of the end of the world. I mean, people really care what the people overblow what people, like the idea of what people think of them. And then the older you get, you find out people just think about themselves.
Right.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares what you're doing.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks about you, you know, like your problems are your problems. And that's kind of just it. You know, nobody thinks about it.
And those people who attack you, they're doing it for the thrill of it. It's not like they care about you. They're doing it for themselves to get a thrill from it, a laugh or to make you overreact or something like that.
Or maybe they're just mean-spirited people.
They are, of course.
Those exist.
So what's important to you?
What's important to me? My family, my career. That's about it. My friends. That's really about it. Being a decent person, I suppose.
And
I'm not trying to be the best person, but
I'm sorry. Fine.
I said I'm not trying to be the best person, just decent.
Right. And why are those things important to you?
I mean, it seems like those are the things that matter, I guess, when kind of you strip everything away.
But they don't work.
They don't what?
Work.
What do you mean they don't work?
Family members.
Elaborate on that.
Families are screwed up.
Friends, yeah.
Friendships are fake. And, they only like you when they can get what they want from you.
Well, not the real friends. No, I mean, see, you've been living in L.A. for too long. You're like a jaded Los Angeles guy where you go, yeah, friends, just it's whatever they can get from me. It's purely transactional, which is an L.A. thing.
Yeah. Amazing. Huh?
Yeah, but I don't know. No, I think I have. I mean, generally, friends that don't align with me at some point, you kind of jettison them. But, you know, I have a lot of, or several friends from when I was, like, in high school.
Oh, okay.
Still.
Yeah, yeah, I have.
They're not in it for what I can do for them because I can't do anything for them. So
that's right. Absolutely. Yeah. I have a couple of friends that are from high school. Matter of fact, one of my friends I met when we were in the first grade. We became friends. And I've known him all my life. And
it's incredible.
And even when we have had disagreements, it didn't change the friendship at all.
Yeah.
And that's been...
Well, that's true. That's real friendship.
Yeah. And that's real.
Yeah. You know, you you see all these things that people are, you know, especially in the last decade, of someone who's either cutting off their friends or their family just over their political affiliations, and it's tragic.
Yeah. Amazing, huh?
It's crazy, yeah.
So you are there in New York, and they just elected Mandami.
Mandami.
Ola Uaba guy, a socialist.
Yeah.
What's wrong the name, with like, the New LA? Yorkers?
Don't you guys basically have that in L.A.?
Yes. We you have do, that, right? Too. They just don't call themselves Mandami.
Yeah.
But we do have
that woman, right, who burned the city down.
I couldn't believe that. Yeah. Karen Bass, the mayor.
Yeah, Karen Bass, right?
Yeah. But are you surprised that someone can say out loud, I am a socialist, and I'm going to give you free stuff, I'm going to take care of you, vote for me, and the people voted for it? Were you surprised?
I mean, there's a lot of low information voters, I guess is what you would call them. And what's more appealing than that? I mean, if you're not really kind of get how things work, and someone says, here's all this free stuff, I'm going to make your life cheaper, and there's no downside to this.
Right.
Seems pretty attractive. Right. And again, I have a lot of friends who live here. You know, I'm like a comedian, and you know, a lot of comedians are broke, and the city is insanely expensive. Like I believe the average cost of a 3-bedroom apartment in New York City right now is $9,500 a month to rent.
Wow. That more than 2 house notes.
Yeah. So when you put it that way, people are like, you know, if someone's coming in and offering to fix things, that seems kind of an attractive proposition. Now, I think a lot of people are pretty skeptical, myself included. And, you know, obviously, my concern with Mamdani getting elected is that the socialism stuff spreads and we wind up with like an AOC 2028.
Yes.
I'm more worried about it on the federal level versus the local level. I don't know how much real damage he could do to a city. I'm sure some, don't get me wrong, but it's more the worry that it spreads throughout the country.
What a mess. My son lives in New York. He used to live in Brooklyn, but he moved out to the suburb area there in New York. So I know how messed up New York is. And when he lived in Brooklyn, he had a little small apartment. Mm-hmm. You could kind of stand in the front room and see Manhattan, you know, without looking out the window. That's how small it was. And he would pay a buku money for it. And I'm like, this is ridiculous.
It is obscene. Here. Now, I don't think he can do anything about it, to be honest. I don't.
He can.
I'm skeptical. No, I'm skeptical that he's going to. The only way to cure this whole thing is, and maybe he does do this, which is just remove the red tape and just let people build like crazy. But you know, that's the only way, in my opinion, that you kind of fix this, is just bring a ton of supply into the market.
But a socialism is all about control. It's not about you being free. So he's just going to be doing things to control people even more so.
I mean, look, you talk to people who have lived in socialist countries. Like I mentioned, my parents are from Russia, Soviet Russia. And anybody who ever lived under one of these regimes, now I'll say Soviet Russia was not exactly Mamdani's version of socialism, a little further left of that. But nobody's talks about it glowingly. They don't talk about the good old days, that's for sure.
What a mess. So you're Jewish?
Yeah. I'm Jewish, yes.
Really? I thought you were like Polish or something.
That's, people always thought that, but there's Polish Jews. Not that I'm Polish, but I am a Polish swamp person, apparently. But there are Polish Jews. We come in all shapes and sizes. There's even black Jews.
Amazing. A black Jew. Don't say that out loud. Because
why not?
Because there are
don't you know the Hebrew Israelites? I see them all the time.
That's why I didn't want you to say it out loud, because they think they're the true Jews.
I know. I think I saw like an interview you did when you like from like 40 years ago with some Hebrew Israelites.
They're insane. Like,
they're crazy. Yeah. I love them though. In a weird way, I have an affinity for them.
Amazing. Yeah, I feel sorry for them.
Yeah, they make me laugh.
Yeah. Well, I don't really feel sorry for them, but they're insane.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what they're into, that's what they're into. This is America. It's a free country.
So what are the Jews saying about Mandami in New York? Did they vote for him? What do they think about him?
A good chunk of Jews did vote for him.
Why?
Yep, definitely. Because my theory on this is that, you know, Judaism is obviously for people would be like a core identity, like you might be a Christian, but I think progressivism, overtook Judaism as like a core identity. So they're like progressives first and they're Jewish second. And therefore that is just kind of, supersedes that. I mean, look, you know, some of the stuff I will concede about, you know, everybody's trying to paint him as this like virulent anti-Semite. Obviously he hates Israel. Yeah. I don't think he's like this David Duke type character. You know, he definitely doesn't like Israel, and obviously there's some murky area there because obviously, you know, I'm of the opinion that you can not like a government. I'm not a big government guy in general. I'm not some guy who's like, I love governments.
Right. Me.
So I don't see why. Right. So I don't see why you can't critic, but obviously there is some conflation where people are like, I don't like Israel. And you're like, no, you don't like Jews. And that's what you're doing there. But I'm fine if you don't like a government. I have no problem with
that. Absolutely. Did he say one? Yeah. I don't want to misquote him, but did he say if Netanyahu came to New York, he's going to arrest him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, I mean, I'm Canadian, actually. I'm originally from Canada, and they're doing the same thing in the entire country of Canada. They're basically saying if Netanyahu steps foot in Canada, because he has, like, an international criminal court arrest warrant. So they're essentially saying we're just going to uphold this arrest warrant for Netanyahu. But the interesting thing, obviously, is the UN is here.
Like, oh, yeah.
Netanyahu could easily avoid Canada, but the United Nations is, I can almost see it from my house. So,
but that, he can't arrest Netanyahu. He's not able to do that, right? If Netanyahu show up?
I don't know, but I mean, you'll be certain that if he tries or does it, him and Trump, it'll be crazy.
Yeah.
That's one of my biggest, not concerns, but I expect the next 3 years of just, it'll be him and Trump just going at it nonstop. It'll be a big distraction for the city, in my opinion.
Yeah. My dream team. Did you know about my dream team? Have you heard me mention that?
No, I haven't.
Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Netanyahu and Putin. The dream team.
And that's who's what in that scenario? Like, because it's like a F, Mary, kill kind of scenario?
Those are the three alpha male that the world are afraid of.
Yeah. Oh, you don't want them to be like in political office together. You're just saying if you just have to assemble three men.
I'm glad that they are in charge of three different of the countries because no one else can do it the way they do it.
That's true. That is true. I mean, there is some element of unpredictability and, you know, kind of like when you're negotiating with someone and you're kind of like, they're a bit nuts. That is a benefit to them.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Justin Trudeau never had that.
No, not at all.
So, except for that sometimes he would just bust out blackface and you go, that's unexpected.
I know. I'm like, what the? So what do you think? You like my dream team?
I like your dream team, yeah.
Right on. And
I'm not a big Putin guy, but...
Oh, you're not?
I mean, he's okay. I guess he's my family hates him. My family, because again, anybody who is from Russia, who no longer lives in Russia, generally hates Russia.
Really?
Like a lot. Yeah, they don't like it. They don't like the leadership. My grandmother, before she passed away, oh my gosh, she hated Putin so much. And he wasn't even in charge when she lived there, I don't think. No, she left in the early 90s. but they don't like what it represents. They don't like that stuff, but it's because they lived under it. So, you know, it's like Cubans. Like some people, you know, you see all these leftists being like loving Fidel Castro. Go talk to a Cuban what they think about right. Fidel Castro.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would like to see him suffer the fate of Gaddafi or, you know, Saddam Hussein.
Amazing. There is, and I have so much I want to talk to you about, but there is an attack upon Jews today like I've never seen before. When I was growing up down in Alabama on a plantation under the Jim Crow laws, the one thing that Christians and Jews, they love one another, they respected one another, and they knew that the Christians knew that if it wasn't for Judaism, there would be no Christianity. And so they respected one another spiritually for sure. And when I was growing up, I always wanted to go to Israel so I could walk through the Bible, walk where Jesus walked.
I've been there when I was a teenager.
Yeah, and it was amazing. Yeah. It was so amazing. Yeah. We went back and took a second trip of young people back. And I just never thought that one day America and Israel would not be as tight as they were when I was growing up.
Right. Well, I think it's definitely the October 7th thing certainly splintered it, and you know, all the America First stuff. And you know, I don't think America, you know, and I'm not even American. I'm Canadian. I just live here.
Right.
I don't think America should provide money to Israel Israel doesn't need it. That's for sure. Like, if they want to sell them weapons, and I have no qualms about that, but there's no reason why America should be giving, whatever, $4 billion a year to a country that has a GDP of, I don't know, $600 billion. Like, I think it's unnecessary, and it just creates some unnecessary just issues, I suppose.
That's because the Jews have more money than non-Jews anyway, right?
That's anti-Semitic, Jesse. No, I'm kidding.
I hear that you guys own everything.
Okay. New York City, New York City, they own a lot of stuff here.
But they disagree with that? And there's nothing wrong with saying America should not be giving Israel all this money. There's nothing wrong with saying that. But do you have to hate the Jews by saying, I don't agree with giving money like this? It seems like there's a hatred for the Jews.
This seems like who is it? Mark Twain said that history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. This seems like a cyclical thing that just always at some point comes back around. Regardless, I don't like to, you know, the idea that the liberals had kind of this idea. Because I find it hilarious that the entire, you know, DEI stuff and all the things that the liberals kind of like the Democrats were doing, 2013 onwards made people objectively more racist.
Yeah.
Like the goal of it was to make, you know, essentially some utopian ideal where you're like, we're going to abolish racism. And you're like, you made people so much more racist.
Absolutely.
Than they were before. It was like, what a epic backfire.
Yeah. They made them more angry. I'm going to get to the racist thing in a minute. One other quick question. Do you feel uncomfortable at all being a Jew and knowing that to me, this is new. I hear a lot of white people hating the Jews. And I'm surprised because I'm like, white people, don't hate the Jews. The Jews are not your problem. And
they're
treating the Jews in the same way the blacks treat the whites. They feel like somehow or another the Jews are holding them back, just like the blacks think that the white people are holding them back. And it's just not true. And so I'm thinking that if somebody hates you for no reason at all, why would you go and hate someone else for no reason at all? Look like you understand.
Yeah, I mean, their counter, I suppose, to that would say, well, we have many reasons. I don't know if they're necessarily or are true, but they would say, I'm sure they have a laundry list of reasons why they perceive Jews to be an issue. But, I mean, this kind of thing is, it seems to have reared its head at some point every century for since we started keeping records.
Yeah. What a mess.
You know what I mean? Like, it's... What's that?
What a mess.
What a mess. Yeah, yeah, what a mess. But, yeah, it's one of those things. I don't know. I'm not, like... I know some, you know, Jews are generally fairly neurotic people. And, you know, my parents, like my grandparents, like lived through World War II. And, you know, so there's a lot of people who are like arm's length away from people who like kind of Holocaust survivors and stuff. And, you know, so they have maybe they're neurotic and it's justified. I'm not really concerned, to be honest.
Right on.
You know, the extent of the anti-Semitism I see is on the internet. I don't, and maybe it'll cross over into real life. I don't know, but I'm not super concerned about it personally. Like, I'm not like scared. I see some Jews being like, oh, I'm scared to walk down the street. And you're like, it's fine.
But you're a big guy, right?
I'm pretty big. Yeah. I'm like 6'1".
So you probably intimidate everybody.
210.
You probably,
maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe. Not the Hebrew Israelites, I'll tell you that. I don't intimidate them at all.
I can imagine. I was surprised when you said, well, I've been to Israel too. I kind of expected you to go to Israel. You're a Jew.
Yeah, I went when I was like 15. I've only been there once.
Did you like it?
I went there when... Yeah, it was nice. I mean, it's... I don't know.
It seemed like I liked it more than you did.
You might, because you know, I'm not particularly religious, and I, you know, I've traveled a bit around the world. I wouldn't say it made my top 10 of places I've been.
Amazing, it was so nice. And then they showed me around. I met the military, some of the military companies there, and took pictures with them. And the weather was nice. And what was interesting about it, though, is that I would go to different places, and the Jewish area is all pretty, clean, taken well, you know, kept up.
Sure.
And then across the road, the Allahu Akbar people, they were angry at the Jews. They were so angry that they didn't even clean up their own area. They were just looking at the Jews and not clean up. It reminded me of the ghettos, the hoods in America. The blacks are so angry at the whites and blame them that they don't even keep up their own land, their own area.
It doesn't cost you anything to just pick up some trash.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, a lot of people, it's easy, I think, when you're not doing well to place blame externally, I think. That's maybe a human nature.
But when I was growing up down in Alabama on that place, I grew up in a tin roof house. And when it rained, it was like music.
Yep.
And we had two rooms, a living room and one bedroom. And, you know, the parents would sleep in the bedroom and the kids would pile up in the other room, a little kitchen. And under the Jim Crow law, we picked cotton and did plant fields and plantation and everything. But not once that we blamed the white man for anything. We were never mad at him because back then they knew that it was good versus evil. There were evil people of all races and there were good people of all races. And so we prayed for the evil people and we got along with the folk that were not evil. There was not this separation in the way that it is now.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I guess, a good way to go about it. I guess some people, you know, see themselves in your position and they're like, you know, we used to rise up and defeat the evil people, like not through prayer, but through actual action, I guess. Maybe that's an explanation. I don't know.
That's amazing. Is there ever, under any circumstance, is there ever a time to be angry at anyone?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I have a wife. She pisses me off all the time.
That's different.
Does that count?
That counts. No, I'm playing. Why do you think there's a time for anger?
If you're kind of wronged, I guess, in an unjust manner, I think generally. That's maybe a human emotion. Like, I think generally people know right from wrong, And, you know, like whenever you watch movies, a lot of times like movies will be framed in this context where there's right and there's wrong. And there's something that feels good about watching the people who are being wronged, you know, get one over on the people who are wronging them. I don't know if that's like a natural inclination, but certainly there must be some instance where anger is justified.
And what good comes from anger?
What good comes from anger?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question. I'm certainly it could be harnessed in a productive fashion.
Like how?
You know?
If there's no love in anger at all, what good? Why have it if it's nothing but evil? There's no love in it at all.
There's no love in it. Yeah. You're coming in from a more of a spiritual standpoint, it sounds like. I guess, you know, I'm sure some people, it could motivate them to, I'm sure there's some people who, you know, they say you have a chip on your shoulder, and maybe it's that chip on your shoulder is an anger that's directed in some way, and maybe it causes you to be in just a career sense, say, a successful person, because, you know, probably that does catch up to you with at some point, like, you know, kind of bottling all the anger up. But I could see it being some sort of guiding force positively. I don't know how that looks in the long term, but.
Well, have you noticed that children who are raised with parents who have anger but think they have love too, but they have anger, that anger always grew up the children, and that the mother always recreate the children her image when she was angry. They become, because they're innocent when they're born. They have no anger. They forgive. They love what's right. And they just discover life. But the moment they become angry when the mother imposes her will on them, either being too mothery or too willful controlling, the kids lose that innocence and they become angry and evil just like the mother, because there's no love in it. Have you noticed that?
I could see, like, you know, an element of anger, you don't want it to be the dominant emotion, but, you know, having like a touch of it could be maybe a positive driver for you. But I also think, like, if you're someone who's an unconditional love kind of person, you could set yourself up for getting taken advantage of and trampled over pretty easily as well. So it's probably like you want to have a good balance of the two, more of the love versus the anger.
But an unconditional love is hate too.
Interesting.
Love neither agree or disagree. It just is. And when you have love, there is no, you're a whole, you're one person. You're not divided. Mm-hmm. Because angry people are divided. They go to this false self of feeling good, feeling like love. And the moment they become angry, they fall down to now they hate you. And then once you appease them or something nice happens, they come back to love, and they're always up and down. They're divided. But a person of real love is not divided. And that person is, they don't take sides either way. They neither agree or disagree. And yet they have perfect peace.
Interesting. Do you classify yourself as that?
I know for a fact I don't have anger at all. And I can't tell you.
What about liberals or mothers?
They are very angry.
they're angry for sure.
They have no
anger
love
towards them.
Because you can't have love and anger. You only have one or the other. You can't have both.
Right.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Who am I?
Yes.
Oh, man. This is getting deep. Who am I? I'm me. I don't know. Who are you? I'm not going to lie. It's not a question that's ever been asked of me.
Okay.
Well, probably like showing up certain places that I probably shouldn't be. And then they go, who are you?
Right. So who are you?
Who am I? I'm a comedian, I guess. I'm just a man. I'm just a man.
So you told me what you do. And you,
yeah.
And you told me you have you're a man.
I have a wife.
You have a
I don't
wife.
Know. You know what? I've never thought about it in this context of who am I.
And why not? What is it like living not knowing who you are?
I mean, I think I know who I am. I don't know the context of the question. Like, I guess I maybe need some more. It's such a vague question, I feel like.
I guess
everybody would define themselves differently.
You want me to make it clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Who are you?
Who am I? I'm me. I don't know. That's such a hard. That's the hardest question I've ever been asked.
That's amazing.
I don't know. Is this something where you normally ask people and they just start rattling stuff off?
Yes.
Really? Well, I feel like to say, who am I? I'm like to start just rattling off certain characteristics about myself.
Yeah, you told me you're like a comedian.
Doesn't seem like the answer.
You told me you're a comedian. That's what you do, right? That's not who you are, but that's what you do. You have a wife, but that's not who you are. You have a wife.
You know what? I think I'm finding out I don't even know who I am. I might be trans tomorrow. You might send me down like a dark, just a dark, dark path. I'm going to have a total just identity crisis once we get off this show where I'm just like, who am I? I might have to just go eat 10 grams of mushrooms and find out.
Oh, I just interviewed someone about that. That was amazing.
Oh, really?
But you're too tall and big to be a trans man.
I'm too tall. I live in New York City. I don't know about that. There's they come in all shapes and sizes here. There's a lot of dudes in dresses on the subway.
I know. What a mess, huh? And so you don't know who you are.
Who am I? I mean, I can rattle off kind of characteristics of myself. I feel like that's not the appropriate answer, though.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't know how to, like, I feel like people would be like, I'm a family man, I guess. I'm a good friend. I don't know. This is you stumped me.
It's the darndest thing I ever seen. When I ask, "Who are you?" They tell me what they do. They tell me they tell me their names. They tell me what they have, but they never tell me who they are.
So this isn't the first time.
No.
I mean, for me to start listing off my material possessions seems pretty corny.
That's right.
I'm not going to do that.
Well. You need to find out who you are, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm a good guy. What? Is that an acceptable answer? Who are you?
What's good about you?
I mean, I'm kind and I'm generous and I'm a nice guy when warranted, I suppose.
So you don't even know what's good about you.
I don't know. Those are positive attributes. Kindness.
Why do you think those are good ones?
Because the alternative is I would feel like if someone's an asshole, that's not. If someone said, "Who are you?" and you go, "I'm an asshole," you'd go, "Eh."
But have you noticed
identity?
Have you noticed that a kind, giving person is an asshole person? Because as soon as you don't give back to them or you don't treat them the way they would like to be treated, they're like, "I did this for you. I was so kind to you. How can you treat me that way?" So they're doing it for their own personal gain, not because they...
Yeah, they're transactional about it, which is... No, I don't expect anything in return. I'm not that type of person. I wouldn't be nice to somebody to try and get something back from them.
Yeah.
So
one other question about that I want to move on because of time. Do you create your own thoughts?
Say that again?
Do you create your own thoughts?
I think so.
And
who else would create them?
And so you do create your own thoughts?
I think so.
And how do you do it? What are the steps to creating the thoughts?
What are the steps to creating the thoughts? They just kind of... I mean, I'm doing it right now, I think. They just kind of, my brain, probably some synapses start firing, and they appear. I mean, sometimes it's harder than other times because, you know, I'll be writing. I don't know if you've ever done any like creative writing, but sometimes you sit there and you're like, I could use a couple of thoughts right now.
And so
something, and you get nothing.
So let's tell me if you can. So you say you create your own thought. Tell me the first three steps of creating a thought.
I don't know if there are steps. I don't know if it works that way.
But if you created them yourself, you should know the steps of how you create them, right?
Well, I don't know if I did create them. I think they just kind of appear out of the ether.
So then why do you say you create them?
Well, who else created them? Is this like a kind of more, is this like a religious spiritual thing where you're saying like God created all my thoughts?
So if you created thoughts, why do you sometimes create bad thoughts? Thoughts that make you feel bad or feel a little fear or emotional. Why would you create those thoughts for yourself if you created thoughts?
That's a good question. That is, I didn't know we were going to get so deep today. I don't know why I create bad thoughts. I mean, I certainly have some, like everybody, certainly have some negative thoughts. Maybe it's a yin and yang type thing where you can't have the good ones without the bad ones.
And so
it's a balancing.
So if you do create your own thought, would you ever create thoughts that would make you feel a certain way like that? Would you ever do that to yourself?
No. No, so there you go. I don't create my own thoughts. I have never created a thought. Because why would you do that?
Right.
And so who's creating my thoughts, Jesse?
Let me ask this before I respond. I will respond to that.
Yeah.
What made you think, all this time being on Earth, what made you think that you were creating your own thoughts, the so-called good ones and the bad ones?
To be honest, similar to the previous question about who am I don't think I've ever given it any thought. No pun intended, but I don't think I ever thought about it. I just thought my thoughts are my thoughts.
And why?
And
why have you thought about?
Because so, if I thought there was somebody else's thoughts, I'd have to be institutionalized.
That's amazing. I want you to know that you have never. Will never, impossible, you can do it if you try, create your own thoughts.
Yeah. What happens if I'm in the shower, I'm trying to think of like a sexy woman?
You're not even creating that image. Something else is doing that for you.
What's that something else?
And what it would do is, it would remind you of women that you've already seen pictures of, or that you've already been with, and you would get an image. It would give you an image about them. And then, like with all thoughts, feelings would come, and then you, whatever happened after that. But you won't.
What happens after that?
Well, it all depends on the woman you're thinking about.
you throw me for such a loop. I don't even know what happens after that now.
But get to know yourself and see what's going on with you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, my thoughts are my thoughts, I guess. I guess I've never created them. They're just, everybody has their own thoughts, and where they come from, I guess, is some ethereal realm, I guess.
And everybody has
unless are you saying this is like a, is this from like a religious standpoint where there's like no free will and just your thoughts are created by a higher power?
Everyone have the same thoughts. Different situations, but the same thought that are caused by the same source. And that's why they treat each other bad. Everybody treats each other the same way until they overcome thoughts.
So this is like a meditation kind of thing.
No, well, you don't want to meditate.
If you ever meditate, you have no thoughts.
You don't want to meditate. No, not meditate. You want to observate, but not meditate. You don't want to hold on to anything. Or anyone. Amazing, huh?
Say it again?
It's amazing, huh?
It is amazing. I mean, you've given me a lot to think about.
What will happen if you,
but then that would be thoughts. And so maybe you're creating my thoughts, actually, now that I come to think of it. I'm thinking about it. You gave me stuff to think about. Therefore, you just created thoughts for me. So maybe there's some sort of your external environment creates your thoughts.
No, those thoughts are coming from within, and they are evil.
All of my thoughts are evil?
All of them.
Some of my shower thoughts are definitely not pure.
All of your thoughts are evil. Even the ones that you call good.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not great.
Well, anyway, so are you more conservative or liberal?
This is the worst answer, but I'm somewhere in between.
Between where?
It depends on what's going on in the world. Like, I'm not opposed to voting for a conservative. I'm not opposed to voting for a liberal. I will vote for whoever I think is best in that specific moment in time. Which is generally when people are on a side, it's the answer they absolutely despise the most. And I understand that.
Yeah. That's why I best not to take sides.
Yeah, if you ask other people, they would say I'm a conservative. You know, I go on Fox News all the time. So they would see that and they go, obviously, this guy's some right-wing guy. But for the purpose of comedy, your political leanings are not – it's not beneficial for people to know your political leanings,
right?
In my opinion. Just
I
because
agree.
Then it's easy to guess kind of where the joke's going.
I totally agree. Growing up, I remember before entertainers would just disclose how they voted, whether they were liberal or conservative. You never knew, and you would just love their movies or you would love their performance.
Of course.
Because you had no opinion about them. But as soon as they said, I'm liberal, or it's all depending on which side you're on, or conservative, right away you don't like their acting, you don't like anything about them. And I've always thought that entertainers should never tell how they vote.
I mean, it's crazy that they do, because like successful entertainers, you literally are just, you're just going to alienate half of your audience for what?
Absolutely.
Just, you know, for what purpose?
That's right. Amazing, huh? So I've noticed that, let me ask this.
Yeah.
I've noticed that educated women do not mate for good wives and mothers. And so I encourage the guys to do what they want, no matter what. But if they want a family, they should not marry an educated woman. Am I wrong?
Well, I have a pretty good relationship with my wife, and she's fully illiterate, so I can confirm that. Yeah, she can't read or write. And I won't allow her to kind of go down that route.
And does she obey you?
Not as much as I'd like. I think she's been reading in secret. I think that's what's been happening.
So am I wrong that a man should not marry an educated woman because an educated woman thinks that she's equal to a man?
Yeah. How educated are we talking about here? Like
college.
Elementary school?
College.
You just don't. So high school is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you want to set this thing where you go, I'm not going to marry a woman who is college educated, you're kind of removing a lot of potential women from the dating pool.
Nice.
And, you know, it's not nice, but generally, you know, college educated women probably earn more money, but then you'll have more of a problem having them, you know, have kids and want to stay at home and stuff. So, you know, every life's about trade-offs. You have to decide what's right for you. I don't think wholesale that the educated ones are worse, but I definitely know what you mean. Certain educations, like a liberal arts degree, oof. She just has, you know, she has $200,000 in debt and she has no economic value. Not great.
Were women created to lead or to follow?
Probably followers, but I mean, that obviously is, you know, not a rule. Like, look at Kamala Harris, amazing leader.
Okay. A perfect
Hillary
example.
Hillary Clinton?
See? You're proving my point.
Yeah.
Would you ever?
I guess I am.
God said that every time a man listens to a woman, he's going to suffer. He suffers when he listens to the woman. Do you ever listen to a woman, or would you?
I do, unfortunately, and I fully agree with that. God is, I don't know who God is, but he nailed that one. that's maybe the thing he's been most right about ever.
And so why do you listen to them then?
Because God also made me have ears and sound. And so it's just, I can get some sort of headphone device where I can just hear the entire surroundings, but just remove the frequency of women. I just don't really have an option. It seems like a technological issue, to be honest.
And do you believe racism exists?
Do I believe racism exists? Certainly there's some racism. I mean, I guess define racism. I think racism is a natural trait that is like an innate trait among people.
And so where's your proof that racism exists at all?
I would say, I always find it hilarious how when you go look at, say, Chinese people and they hate Korean people, we all just are like, you're all just Asians, but they're very like, yeah. They're like, no, those people are bad and we hate them. And, to the degree where it's like a malicious thing, I think so. I mean, I live in New York City. I'm sure there is, it happens more than zero where some type of person goes to get an apartment, for example. And there's multiple candidates. Maybe there's two candidates and one is of some race and one is not some other. And I'm not even saying like excluding white people, because white people would still fit into this, where the person goes, I want to rent, these two people are equal and I'm going to maybe pick the person who I like their skin color, I suppose. Now, is that like the end of the world? I don't know, but some would classify that as racism. I mean, I know I'm from outside of Toronto, and I know there's a common thing where in Toronto there's Indian families, and they'll own a house, and they'll only rent to other Indians. And, a white person might try to rent that place, and they'll be declined due to their race. You could say that's an in-group preference kind of thing, but some people would call that racism, I suppose.
And so do you have any proof that racism exists?
Do I have any literal evidence?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I've said racist things in my life, certainly. I don't know if that's proof.
No, you don't have proof.
I don't have proof.
But why you think it exists?
I know a lot of old Jewish women who when they're, they'll be walking down the street and they'll see some kind of younger black guy look across the street.
Do you blame them?
Now it's not rational.
Do you blame them?
Do I blame them?
For walking across the other side.
Depends the type, I suppose. Obviously you don't think all black people. If I saw a guy who looks like you walking down the street, I would, that would not be threatening. There are certainly some. Now, if you had a shiesty mask on, that'd be a different story.
Even Jesse Jackson said that when he's walking down the road and he hear footsteps behind him, he feel relieved when he look around and see that it's not black,
When did he say that?
Some years ago now, but something like that. I have it word verbatim, but something like he relaxes when he realizes it's not black people behind him.
Sure. I mean, I do a joke about it.
But he's serious.
Not that specifically, but just how, there's an epidemic in the city of people playing their speakers out loud. And it's generally not white people.
And so you don't have any proof that racism exists, yet you believe it does.
I would just based on human nature and a big enough sample size, I would think, at some point there's been a racism occurring.
I want you to know.
Now, I don't think it's systemic and like endemic the way that, that people would like to make it out.
Yeah.
But on an individual level, I would, that would be my belief.
I want you to know that racism does not, has not, cannot, will not, it doesn't exist at all. It's just a made up word that came about during the so-called civil rights movement so that they can control the blacks to vote for them.
Yeah.
And intimidate white people to get their money away from them. But
right. I'm not giving them any of my money, and people don't even consider me white, so
that's right.
I'm Jewish, but obviously. So
it's a battle.
What happens when I have a racist
thought?
What is the explanation of my racist thoughts?
You've been listening and you believed it.
But again, where did those thoughts come from?
Evil. From hell.
Evil.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't make the thoughts. They are racist thoughts.
But now that you know that racism does not exist, our battle is a spiritual battle. It's good versus evil. You have evil people. And you have some people who have overcome evil. They have good people. And it's based on that. It's not physical. It's spiritual. Either you're right or wrong. It has nothing to do with the physical at all. That's why no one ever overcome it, because it's not real. It doesn't exist. It's just a made up word to control.
Interesting.
When I was growing up, that word didn't even exist.
Whenever I say an off-color joke, I'll let people know after I bomb on some kind of off-color racist joke. I go, just so you guys know, racism doesn't even exist. I don't know what you guys are all upset about.
You should give it a good try.
I'll try it. I'll say Jesse Peterson told me this.
So listen, because of time, you are a comedian. What made you decide to become a comedian? And I want to ask you about a video I saw that you did. It was so funny. But what made you decide to become a comedian?
I wanted to do it since I have memories, basically. Since I was 6 years old, I wanted to be a comedian.
Right on.
I always loved comedy and jokes. And
so you were funny in school and all that as well?
Yeah, I was always funny. I was making people laugh, and I always loved watching. When I was 6 years old, my friends would be watching cartoons, and I'd just be watching like Kids in the Hall or SCTV, stuff like that.
Right on.
Saturday Night Live.
Have you ever made a joke at an event and no one laughed?
All of the time. For comedians, this is a very regular occurrence. I mean, the thing is comedy sometimes. Sometimes you'll have an idea for a joke and you're like, I know that works. Sometimes you're not sure.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes you're like, I think this is funny. This is funny to me. Maybe you don't get the packaging right. Comedy is a very iterative process. So sometimes all the time. And that goes for literally every comedian on earth where you bomb.
Amazing. I saw this on your channel. You had this video where you have this men group. Whether they come here for help, like a alcoholic group,
yeah.
But it's about fat wives group. And all the guys.
I did that with Ryan Long, fat wives support group.
Right.
Yeah, guys, I'm telling you, she's pretty fat.
Let me guess. Second dinner from time to time?
Oh, yeah, 170. Like, does she ever slap the hand of the waiter away because he takes the plate before she's licked it off, Dom?
Hey, this isn't a competition, guys. We all have fat wives.
That is so funny, man. It is absolutely funny. But it's so real.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it really funny.
Yeah, because women have fat wives. And they don't start fat. That's the problem. Right?
Right.
Just one day you wake up and you're like, I got a big old pig of a wife.
I always said when I was dating, I've been engaged twice. And I've always said that, okay, I'll marry you because you're fine. You got a nice little body like I like. And if you get fat, I'm divorcing you. I let them know in advance.
So you haven't been married twice? You've just been engaged twice?
Right. And the reason I didn't marry them is because when we were dating, they were all loving me. They were in agreement with my work, and I'm busy, and they were just loving it. Oh, you're helping people. That's fine. And as soon as I got engaged with them, they want to control me. Now I gotta be
at about right.
I gotta be at home at a certain place. I gotta act a certain way. I'm like, this ain't gonna work. So I called it off both times.
This is great insight into your theories about women that I heard earlier. It really colors everything in. Makes it make sense.
So what's wrong with the blacks?
What's wrong with the... I love the blacks. I mean, what's wrong with them? I don't like to cast aspersions on entire groups. I don't like this notion that... Because, you know, I'm obviously Jewish, and every group has their own issues, and this idea that everyone needs to self-police their group. Certainly, there's issues with crime in the black community, like the disproportionate. I don't have a solution for that. I definitely don't think it's other black people need to, you know, go ahead and be self-policing. I don't know. I don't. I'm sure you have better ideas than this.
Do you love the white? Do you love white people?
Do I love white as like a monolith? No.
Do you love white people?
No.
But you said you love the blacks. Why don't you love white people?
I didn't say I love the blacks.
You did. Did I say that? You said nothing wrong with the blacks. I love the blacks.
Well, there's nothing wrong with them, and there's nothing wrong with the whites as a group. I don't believe that. I don't know if I said I love the blacks, but maybe.
Yeah, you said I love the blacks.
Do I love the blacks? Oh, maybe.
No, you said
maybe
you do.
The ones that I'm friends with, I like.
No, you said you love the blacks.
The ones who play their music too loud on the subway, not a fan of. Those ones, the headphone dodgers, not a big fan of them.
And so do you love white people?
I suppose in a similar, you know, the white people that I'm friends with. I guess that's what I was saying about the black ones is, you know, the ones I'm friends with I like, but to say I love all people. Although I guess maybe from your religious background, I don't know. Would you say you love all people?
Yes.
Is that a Christian value?
I love all people, even my enemy.
Mm. You love your enemies, yeah.
Is it possible?
I don't know if Jews have that.
Have what?
Where we love everybody.
No, the Jews only love the Jews.
Jews do love the Jews, yeah. The Jews do love the Jews.
Amazing.
Yeah, we definitely don't like that Hitler guy.
Was he a Jew?
Some people think he was. That's my favorite kind of conspiracy theory. Some people think Hitler was secretly Jewish.
Why?
I think some sort of lineage. He had some Jewish blood in him.
So, you know? Is it possible to love some people but not all people?
Yes, certainly.
How is that possible?
I mean, I don't know. Some people are worthy of love. Again, I'm not Christian, so I don't have this kind of worldview where I love all people. Now, that would be my default. I will say that I will give everybody the benefit of the doubt in that sense. I would start from that place. I wouldn't start from a place of hate with anybody, but man, some people are so annoying.
Who is not worthy of love? What kind of person is not worthy of love?
Who's not worthy of love? Good question. Chinese people?
What the?
No, I don't know. Who's not worthy? I mean, again, the default is you should give them the benefit of the doubt. You should probably start there. But then, you know, some people are bad people. There are bad people.
And you don't think they're worthy of love?
Not from me. I'm sure somebody loves them. I mean, Hitler's dog loved him. I don't love Hitler. And you can clip that. You can clip that, Jesse.
Okay.
My very controversial statement for me.
That was heavy.
Yeah.
But I want to encourage you to love all.
Okay. Well, that is my default. I will say that is the default. But, you know, some people are just kind of
That doesn't mean you got to live with them. You don't have to put up with their crap. Just don't hate them. They can't help themselves.
Yeah. They can't help themselves. That's fair. I mean, I don't really hate anybody except for that Hitler guy. And I don't really think about him too much, to be honest.
And where is Hitler now?
Probably in heaven.
And you still hate him? He's not even around.
Yeah, no, I don't. He's not someone who I really think about. He's more of a punchline than anything at this point. Oh.
So I got to put you on the hot seat. I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
Okay, let's go.
The hot seat.
Who is funnier, black people or Jewish people?
Black people.
Did you take the jab?
I did.
You did?
I did, but I have a explanation for it. It was not by choice. So I'm Canadian, and during COVID, it was my grandmother's 95th birthday, and I very much wanted to attend it because I love my grandmother very much. She's no longer with us. And the only way I could go back to Canada was if I took the shot.
So you risked your life to go to grandmama's birthday?
Yeah, correct.
Amazing.
I didn't really, that wasn't the calculus at the time where I was risking my life to right. do it. I was just like, all right, I guess I have to do this thing.
What is a man?
What is a man? God, these questions. What is a man? I don't know. A human with a penis. A real one, not one of them forearm ones that you get in a lab.
True or false? When she's crying, she's lying.
True. True. Oh man, that's the truest thing I ever.
Hockey or football?
Hockey.
Do you believe that we landed on the moon?
That's an interesting one. I would err on the side of yes, but not 100%. I would say 80% we did, 20% not.
Does a chicken have lips?
No.
Is the earth flat or round?
Round.
Do we need more white babies?
Yes.
Have you ever tasted something that was so good it made you want to slap your mama?
No, that's a black thing.
Which is worse, abortion or slavery?
Slavery.
Did the bear shit in the woods?
Did it?
I'm sorry?
Did you say did the bear shit in the woods?
Yes.
I think so, at some point. Certainly a bear has to shit in the woods at some point.
Did you have fun?
I had a great time. I was very looking forward to this. Yes, I did have a good time to get to talk to you.
Right on.
Yeah, you're a very interesting guy. I will say you're. Sometimes people say this and they go, "Someone's one of a kind," and it's BS. But you are certainly a one of a kind type guy.
Well, I appreciate that, and I knew I was going to enjoy talking to you. So thank you for coming on. Tell the folks how to get to your podcast and all that. And I really want them to see my wife is fat.
Just go to DannyComedy.com and there's all my links there. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, all my YouTube. Check out my call-in show. If you like call, you do call-in shows.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you like call-in shows, which I'm sure some of your fans do, the one on Monday night I do is like kind of a coast-to-coast type show. And Tuesday nights is me and three other comedians at a green room of a comedy club in New York City, and we just take calls, and it's a fun time.
One quick question I wanted to ask that I forgot. Now that comedians are not allowed to just say what they want, be who they are, just do their thing, does that concern you at all?
No, I think that's a bit of a misnomer where people think that we're heavily restricted. Obviously, you know, you forego some opportunities in, you know, the traditional media space. If you, you know, especially in the height of all the craziness, like 5-8 years ago,
right,
where if you said certain things, you'd be precluded from maybe going on Comedy Central or something like that. But now it's, look, you go to the Comedy Cellar in New York City, people are saying what they want. There's no handcuffs on us. Any comedian who's kind of worth their salt says what they want.
Right on.
Well, I'll say that, and myself included.
Nice. I'm glad to hear that. I really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you again for coming on. And thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to like these videos, subscribe, follow, ring the bell, and all that good stuff. Check out our merch at jesseleepeterson.shop. Amazing merch. You're going to love it. And especially my coffee. Oh, God. Makes you want to slap your mama. And if you'd like to see other guests on the show, contact my producer, producer@thefallenstate.tv. producer@thefallenstate.tv. And that's it there. Oh, support The Fallen State by becoming a member there, Jesse Lee on the YouTube channel, and Cameo. What? Oh, yeah, I do cameos for you. Birthday shout-outs, wedding shout-outs, anniversary shout-outs, whatever the shout-out is, go to Cameo, cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you, man, Danny. That was amazing.
How much to slap my mom?
What?
How much to slap my mom?
It's free.